is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. You just mentioned this very important concept that I don't know that all of our diehards know what you're talking about. Yes, and.
Yes.
Dig into that and tell us, what is it and how a salesperson can use that on a presentation?
So yes, and the philosophy in improv is I didn't invent it. Every improviser knows how to do it or should know how to do it. It's a concept. It's a philosophy of acceptance, first of all. So it's acceptance, not agreement. You're not always going to agree with everything that someone throws at you. If you can accept an objection, accept an idea, and accept a belief, and say, yes, I accept that. And here's part two.
Is it but?
You get rid of the but.
But is negative.
We're going to get rid of your butt.
We just came from New York City where it's no and.
Oh, man. It really is.
Which is a yes, but.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're trying to replace yes, but with yes, and. So we say we're eliminating your but. So I know I saw you in Chicago and you said you were trying to lose some weight. But we're not talking about that kind of but.
Got you. Okay, cool.
So it's
yes, but.
No, yes, and.
And so a guy says your price is too high. You go, yes, and.
Yes.
It's also without value.
Yes, our price is really high, and we provide more than this guy. And
so you don't say, but we provide more than the other guy.
No.
Because if you're watching an improv show, well, I've seen some of these where they use the concept. It's really interesting. Like, someone will throw something out there that's crazy town, and the next person who has to play off of it, you can see they're like thinking, no, but they're like, yes, and then they play to the next level.
Right. So it's a heightening. So yes, and is a heightening kind of mechanism to get to the next place. So you can use it not just in sales and overcoming objections, but you can use it in ideation and collaboration. How do we take something to the next level? And when we talk about yes, and, I'm talking about the literal yes, and. You're not going to always get into a literal yes and situation. Now, when we do sales training, we teach them a literal yes and then we get them off the yes and so that it's more of a concept than it is a literal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because people will actually fall back into the literal once they learn it.
So let's stay on price for the moment. You could say, I agree, and there are other elements besides price that are meaningful to you. Mr. Jones, you cheap bastard.
Well, but you just said you don't have to agree. It's more about acceptance.
It's more of accepting their reality,
right?
It's validating they think your price is too high.
So could I say most people feel that way? Or others feel that way too?
That others feel
or
that.
Or you're not the only one that thinks that?
Or I accept that and...
Or you can own it and go, yes, our price is higher because here's the value that we offer that might be different from a competitor. And then you can use a Jeffrey Gittimer power question.
Someone who's done her research.
and you could insert that power question to get them to think about it. Be provocative.
Diehards, please say hello to the great Dr. Greg Story. But I think that there's enough good salespeople right now to where the numbers are starting to work towards the good.
Well, there's not enough of them here. I mean, well, you have the benefit in America of people like yourself who are doing very, very good training and writing books on the subject, really a lot of material to draw on here there. But Japan, the salespeople are getting what they call on-the-job training, OJT. So you're getting the sort of dregs, really, of instruction on selling from a bunch of extremely mediocre bosses. So they haven't got the same caliber of professionalism that you're getting in the West, I think. So they're trading off the brand name of their company. Oh, I work for XYZ company. That's enough, you know, as opposed to them personally having professional sales ability. So we've still got a long way to go here. And that's why we do sales training. And when we look at the people coming to our classes, the level is pretty abysmal, I got to tell you. It's bad.
Really?
Oh, it's bad. It's bad.
And how quickly can you get them up to speed?
Well, you know, if you can imagine, they're visiting Jen and they start talking about red. That would be probably a good start, you know, knowing that red's the color. So you just teach them that one thing to actually get on the wavelength of what the customer's interested in and then know how to, you know, present the solution in a way that tic-tacs with what the client's looking for. Well, you're bound to do a lot better because you're going to, like, I'll give an example. This is very typical, very typical. Guy comes in to see me. He wants to sell me on a particular booth in a trade show for HR. So we often deal with a lot of HR people in the training business. The guy is he's probably late 50s, I'd say, Jeffrey, feel late 50s. So he's been doing this, you know, for a good 30 plus years, right? 35 years plus. 50-minute pitch. Not one question. Now, I'm watching the guy. I teach sales training. I'm thinking to myself, well, this will be interesting. I wonder when this guy is going to actually ask me a question about my business. 50 minutes. Goes through the whole, you know, catalog, and here's your booth size, and here's your position, and blah, 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 and you can give this talk, and da-di-da-di-da. No questions. And another guy came in. He had it was a software product, came in, younger guy, late 40s. He was a director of sales. Opens up the oyster shell of the laptop, 60 slides, not one question. Huh. At the end of it, I said, could you go back to slide 34? There were two slides in that whole presentation which were relevant to me. He could have saved 23 minutes, you know, of just blabbering on about his whole 60-slide deck. We could have gone straight to those two slides, and he probably would have done a deal.
Hey, everybody, it's Motivation Monday.
We have a comment from Marissa, who says, when your work colleague is really your biggest competitor, and that's what we're going to talk about today. She says, now, this is a subject I'd love to hear on a podcast. It's your lucky day. Yesterday, my boss calls me to say that my colleague was approached by the new staff member of my account and requested to have her take over my account. I told my boss no because she's new and we have not worked together yet for her to make that decision. I know my colleague has had previous dealings but has not done anything with her for ages. As it turns out, this morning I find out from my boss that they were at a function together and the request stems from that. Ooh. He said my colleague doesn't want to work with her, but she insisted. So the customer is insisting on working with a different sales rep. If my colleague really didn't want to work with her, then she would have said, I'm sorry, and you know, I'm your contact, and not go to my boss behind my back. You know, and then she's just venting about it. And so let's talk about this because this happens a lot. This is not just a Marissa issue. A lot of people are working with a client. They think they have a really good relationship with that client. And then all of a sudden.
Or they've taken the relationship for granted, which is exactly what has happened here. Mm. The woman made the gripe, but she didn't ask why. Why do they want to change? And that's what you have to ask yourself. Obviously, she was vulnerable to risking her relationship with them, that she hasn't done enough. What I would want to know, what has this woman, the saleswoman who's risking losing this account, done to stay top of mind on an every week basis? Send me a list of all the value things that you've sent to this client so that they know that there's no way. She was offered to go. She wanted to take another rep because you were vulnerable to lose the account. And I don't mean this as a mean statement or anything. It's just a fact that you can't complain about what the other person did without doing an extremely deep self-evaluation about what caused it. What were the elements there?
Yeah, going back to our Motivation Monday episode with Charlie Rocket, that relationship was obviously not mom level.
Yes. You know? Oh, my God. Exactly. We need to put that link in here because that mom connection, what did he call it? Mom.
I think he said mom status.
Mom status.
Yeah, because like your mom status. Is not going to go to one of your colleagues and do business with them, right? The relationship is not mom status.
And so the question this woman has to ask herself is, did they love me or did they want to change from me? And how vulnerable was I to this change? Because obviously at a cocktail party or a networking event, the subject of you came up and they talked about you and what you did or didn't do. And all of a sudden, the client wanted somebody different. Now, I think that the other woman was just a happenstance. They would have taken anybody else.
Well, we have no idea, okay? But this is a great opportunity, not just for our diehard, but for all of you diehards out there. This is a great opportunity for you to really examine your accounts and think about your renewal opportunities with them. And think about what are you doing on a consistent basis, and it may be daily, it may be quarterly, it may be monthly, to check in with and give value to your accounts so that they know you're the person. Like, let's talk about Michael Silverman for a second.
Yep.
Okay. So Michael Silverman does our homeowners insurance. He's been on the show. We can pop his link in there too. Would you ever go to someone else?
Well, here's the deal. He sends us value information on a weekly basis.
All the time.
That keeps him top of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most important part of this process. As a sales diehard, you have to ask yourself, what are you doing to stay top of mind with all of your customers?
So I really like the strategy that he used, which was a couple of months ago. He's like, let's check in November and let's set it on the calendar. And I was like, okay, cool. And I like him. You know, he's my friend. So I figured he wanted to sell me something on this check-in. So we have our call. And I was a little busy that day. And I'm like, okay, I know you want to sell me something. So just get to it. Like, what do you want to sell me today? He's like, I don't want to sell you anything. I just want to check in. Legitimate check-in. Like,
no, but for real, what do you want to sell?
No. Yeah. But like, I didn't buy anything. He didn't pitch me anything. He didn't sell me anything. And what he said was, let's check in February or March. We have the next date on the calendar. So he constantly never leaves that meeting without having the next date on the calendar to legit just, he wanted to know what was going on in my business.
I can't imagine, though, him not saying something like, well, when I get back with you in February, don't worry, I'll have something to sell you.
Listen, but that's okay. Okay, you got a ding. But that's okay because he gave so much value on that call, and he strengthened our friendship and relationship and working together relationship. And so the question is, what are you doing, and how are your check-ins with your people and with your customers? And do they feel salesy to your customers, or do they feel value-driven?
That's perfect. Now, can we take this to the sales manager level? Because the boss was involved in this situation, and it sounds like the boss is setting up a certain type of environment where, you know, sales team members are being pitted against one another. What do you think about that?
I think they should have had both of them in the same room at the same time and resolved it in 1 minute.
So, okay, maybe, you know, the boss is in a tricky situation because
it's not tricky. Just bring communication together.
Yes, and see, I'm using my yes and from Gina.
Thank you, Gina.
And if you haven't listened yet, is it coming up this week?
It's coming up this week on Tuesday.
Oh, my God. You're going to learn all about yes and tomorrow. Okay, so yes, and what they could also do is the boss has to, like, keep both salespeople happy, but She or he also has to think about the customer, and the company does not want to lose that customer. And that customer just as easily could have gone to the competition as it did to go to a work competition.
Here's the deal. Let me quote Barney Fife.
I think he doesn't agree with me.
Let me quote Barney Fife. Nip it, nip it, nip it. The sales manager should have nipped it the second that it arose at his or her desk and should have brought the people together and created some kind of resolution. Like, here's what's going to happen. You're going to co-manage the account. You're responsible to give the customer a value message on a weekly basis. There's some things that could have been done.
I agree with that. But hear me out, that the customer could have just as easily gone to the competition. Yeah. Okay,
but
the customer,
obviously the salesperson was doing something either inadequately or incorrectly and was vulnerable enough to
or maybe just wasn't doing anything at all. Thought that they had a great friendship or relationship, thought that the account was safe and didn't realize she needed to be doing more.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.